Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about the 100th episode, The Real Deal. We're going to be breaking down Fitz and Simmons' weddings, Coulson coming to terms with death, and all of the fan service that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans could ask for. It's going to be a fun show tonight. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Guys. So, Fitz and Simmons weren't married before? I don't understand why this... Okay.
Common law doesn't count.
I mean,
space law doesn't count.
When you get introduced in a show as your ship name, like, you kind of make assumptions from the very start of the show.
They OP.
The concept was they've always been kind of together, and okay, we need to get into that.
Let Megan introduce the episode, Teron.
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to the 100th episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s recap here on AfterBuzz TV. Let's not waste any time. I'm Megan Salinas, and to my left is Jesse Klein.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Super excited to talk about the episode.
To his left, Teron.
Teron is here.
What's there left to say after that?
And to his left, Zach Wilson.
Hey, guys. I am rocking my Jessica Jones Infinity scarf in honor of Jessica Jones coming out and the after show coming back later tonight. Plug.
Be sure to stay tuned for that. And Zach has got you guys covered on the live chat. We are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel because we want to know what you guys thought about the 100th episode. So, yeah, guys. Now, I guess we could break this down as like a 100th episode sort of recap or just a regular episode recap. Like, because I have thoughts of this as just an episode itself, but also as kind of the 100th episode as well.
I mean, it felt just like a regular episode to me. Like, it felt just like a fun sci-fi episode.
Do Fitz and Simmons get married every episode there? You heartless beast?
Listen, in my heart, when a force like Fitz and Simmons are on TV, that love has been married forever. It transcends time and space. He went to another planet for her.
That's a great point. Yeah. Now, and here's the thing. Why was he even nervous to get married when it's like you weren't nervous to go into a cryogenic chamber, emerge?
Oh, that's where Gemma is? Okay, night, guys.
He didn't even question, hey, is there another way to get there? Like, you're so innovative, and then you come up with this, and you do that. And they've been seeing it. It's not like you're even seeing other girls. There are no other girls at this point for you to even see, or vice versa. You guys have been together in different dimensions and frameworks and different scenarios. Yo.
Teron, you're saying he was afraid to get married. Are you proposing that the rift is not closed and his greatest fear was marrying Gemma and it never happened?
Oh, no!
I don't want to drop this mic because it'll break, but...
Mic drop.
I don't want to live in that world. I thought it was great.
Zach, what are your thoughts on this episode?
I thought this was a good episode. This was a good 100th episode. You're right. I agree more with, I think, what Megan was insinuating there. Like, this is, if this was not the 100th episode, it would have felt really weird and out of place. But as far as, like, you wanting to do a special episode to, like, acknowledge the show and what it's done up to this point, I thought it did a good job. The fear dimension thing was a little I see what you're doing to get these people back in here for a moment.
It felt very Doctor Who.
Yes.
This entire episode.
Especially with
rift.
The crack.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
If you blew up the lighthouse, this crack would still be there.
Literally have in my notes, you know, a crack in the universe. Yeah. It looks like the crack that was in Amy Pond's.
It's almost identical.
Blue. The one in Amy Pond's was white. It's very different.
It's a completely
different
thing.
It's a squiggly line across the air. It's the same rift.
Now,
okay, fine.
I will say that...
That was a rift?
I will say that the notion of the fear dimension was a surprise to me, because what I thought it was going to be was more actually pulling these people, you know, these manifestations of fear. I thought it was literally pulling Lash and Hive out of points in time.
Not just kind of weird ghosty things.
Not just weird ghosty.
They could only afford like two special effect shots for each one.
Yeah. Have we brought up the fear dimension before? Has it come up in the show before?
No, but the Marvel Cinematic Universe has brought up the notion of multiverses in the past, sure. Particularly with Doctor Strange. There's an entire dimension called the Dark Dimension where Dormammu's just like hanging out, being a jerk, I guess.
Jesse, I was trying to remember, is there specifically a fear dimension in the comics? Because you have the, which one is it with the anti-Avengers? Is that the Negative Zone?
That's the Negative Zone. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there are...
Yeah, alternate universes are no stranger to Marvel.
Yeah, but I don't know that there's specifically a fear dimension.
There was a superhero who, could tap into the fear... Like, they describe their powers as they could... What was their name? There might have been, like, Phobia or something like that. Their superpower was, like...
Good old Phobia, yes.
To tap into the fear dimension and bring out what your fears were. But I don't remember anyone actually, like, exploring the idea of a fear dimension or anything like
that. Little known fact about Phobia, actually won an award for most original name for power of
Conqueror. I don't think so.
It actually won... Phobia taps into the fear dimension.
Now, there is a part of me that's a little disappointed that an episode about the fear dimension wasn't more horror-oriented, because I love my horror movies.
Sure.
But I loved what they did with Mike Peterson and Coulson's fear.
That was great.
That, to me, that was the best part of, like, truly acknowledging 100 episodes with Agent Coulson.
Yeah.
Because that felt like a... That was bookending not just Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but that was Coulson Avengers. As he was in the Avengers, and his acknowledgments of, like, his belief in the team and playing on what happened that started this entire show. And, like, while I'm not entirely on board with the Saint Elsewhere style, like...
Jacob's Ladder scenario.
You think... I don't even like the implication that we're in a dream. And I know that's not what we're doing, but, like, it's just, like, I don't need to think that. But I like that fear for Coulson. That would be his greatest fear, that he hasn't actually been effective in saving the world.
And it's an effective threat for the audience as well, where it's like... this isn't what we're doing, but what if we were doing it?
And we're like, no, don't, I'm so scared of that concept being real.
Exactly.
No.
Five seasons of my life wasted.
That's the sort of thing that ends up on, like, a BuzzFeed article list like, guys, this theory, a clickbait article, this theory about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Turns out all the Rugrats were actually miscarriages.
So the concept of Coulson's biggest fear being psychological, I actually really appreciated it because it wasn't cheesy or corny.
Yeah.
It also highlighted a lot of things about Coulson and his character and gave me insight to who he is as a person who's just like a regular audience person. And I've always felt this way about Coulson. And it tied it back for me to the Avengers movie, is where I was first introduced to Coulson. And so I appreciated it a lot.
Yeah.
I thought it was very clever. It showed that great writing that I've seen highlighted throughout this season in particular, because I feel like this season's script writing has been phenomenal. The banter, the wittiness, and the charm, and it brought it back to that. And I also, honestly, if I was in that situation, I might have believed it. Because it was very believable. Well, and Coulson had the strength of mind to not be persuaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not from a meta perspective as well, bringing J. August Richards back to reprise his role as Mike in Deathlok was really cool, because he was there in the pilot. So it's a really cool idea to bring him back for this monologue sort of situation in the 100th episode. And also trying to convince Coulson that, like, I'm not Mike Peterson. I'm just an EMT that happens to be in the room as you're dying, as you're flatlining.
That was great, because we weren't sure whether or not that was Coulson seeing it or whether that was editing within the show. So it was like, is this an EMT that we are seeing, or is it what Coulson is seeing? And I think it's a great fear, because it's one that everyone can connect to. Like, the idea that does your life have any meaning? And like, have what you've been doing with your life, does that actually affect anything?
Fear. This is my dream in life that everything at a certain point was just fake. And I'm really like this really rich guy who's been chilling in a house, like, well, getting, and it would also mean I have health care, which is amazing.
Well, statistically speaking, we are all living in a simulation.
Thank you, bearer of good news, Justice. See, this is why I have to kill you to the death.
But you can't, because it's just a simulation. It's just a simulation. So death is a figment of your imagination.
Yeah.
But I loved that, yeah, we got to see that Coulson does what we all do, which is we kind of willfully have to believe what we are doing has meaning, no matter what. And then Deathlok himself comes in and saves him. But I do like that while they were in the elevator, they even left a little room for doubt where Coulson goes like, very convenient that he showed up right when I needed him. And then it's like just that little room for doubt where like it was really convenient.
Oh no!
Wait a minute!
I love the idea that part of why Coulson is acting the way he does in this episode is because he's made peace with the notion of his own mortality and the notion that he is dying slowly. Because the reason he's able to accept it is, I got a second chance. I was able to change a few lives. I don't want to get greedy and ask for more. And this manifestation immediately starts to pick apart that by like, you didn't make a difference in these people's lives. Yeah. They're all just a manifestation of your wants and needs for a family. So I thought that was like a great way to just sort of dissect everything that he's like clinging to be like, I am accepting this.
Coulson's biggest fear should be that he's never going to get with May, because that needs to just happen already. Like, why? You've done everything. You hint at it. You like, just
Before we talk about the one-on-one relationship, because let's get into that. But before we do have a quick announcement for you guys.
Yeah, Tehran, I would like to read this out, because want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life. For those who do, we have a podcast for you. Conversations with Maria Menounos, a podcast edition, is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, Maria Menounos. If you're not familiar, get familiar. She is amazing and drops every Friday on iTunes. That's each and every Friday. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career and relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you have never had. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. And make sure you share and subscribe. Tell your friends. Be sure to rate and comment when you do. And let Maria know it was us, meaning me, who got you there. If you don't know, my name's on my hat. Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition. Check it out. And I'm telling you this from real personal experience. I actually listen to it each and every Friday because it's inspirational, it's motivational, and more importantly, it's informative. I learn a lot from listening to Maria speak with her guests. It's just really informational. So if you're doing anything at home where you're like, greatness is a part of who I want to be, and it doesn't matter greatness in what, you could be a worker at Popeyes and like want to be the best Popeyes worker. Trust me, you definitely want to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, Maria is an amazing, powerful woman. Check her out, because she is just a phenomenal person, and you can learn from her.
And I think I just want Popeyes. I don't know why I do that. Okay, sorry. Popeyes is delicious. If you choose KFC over Popeyes, you're not a good person. Okay,
this show's not brought to you by Popeyes.
Unless KFC is like, they want to smile, and then I love KFC. Okay.
Louisiana Fresh. Yeah. That's what the show is. Back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Back to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So as you were bringing up, we have, you know, one of the biggest upsetting things about Coulson slowly dying is that this entire show has been leading up to him and May potentially getting together.
Because May wants to. I feel like May wants it. See, it'd be one thing if it's like Phil and then it's like, bro, calm down, Harvey. But it's like,
no, this has never been an unrequited situation.
It's like you have like a day to live, bro. Just go, every day. You were about to go Gravitron it up. You know what? You can find 30 minutes. Just make it happen. Just knock it out of the way, man. Just get it out the way.
He
said my trigger word, Graviton, and now I'm set again. Because they keep look, I think they have to be building to Graviton, because they keep they're I wanted to swear, they but even, this is a family-friendly show. They keep messing with us.
Gravitonium to close the rift.
They are using gravitonium everywhere in this season, and they acknowledged last year that they've like, yeah, we know about the graviton thing, and like I think people are going to be happy, and then they didn't pay it off.
Okay.
And they keep teasing us with it. Every other episode, gravitonium.
Actually, Ward is still alive. He's bonded with graviton.
No! That's the only way I don't like
actually, Zach, you missed the press release. The writers of the showrunners, released a press release saying that they were purposely teasing gravitonium specifically to annoy
you.
You
know
what? No.
It's funny. Until you said it to me.
There was a show on AfterBuzz where the writers would watch the after show and then kind of rewrite scripts based on what the panel was talking about. So that's not as far-fetched as you might think.
No, I've definitely heard, like, I'm not going to say which show, but there's one show that's, two shows, I think, actually, that specifically, like, made
well,
reference.
And the writers have agreed to that. They were like, yeah, we kind of.
Yeah,
let's not call them out. Let's not call them out.
So we find out that Coulson is dying because basically he's already dead and it's just catching up with him.
Yeah, I thought the explanation of Ghost Rider possessing him for a short while, the way he describes it, is undoing the alien voodoo that kept him together.
Burned out his alien voodoo, yeah.
I like that. It was basically like Coulson was... That makes sense to me. Although, yeah. I don't know if it's the vengeance demon. Like,
well, it reminds...
It's like death. To me, it's more... That's a death thing, right?
Well, it kind of reminds me of like a Spider-Man anti-venom where... Like, he cures people of their diseases. So that means, like, if he touches Spider-Man, he cures him of his radiation poisoning.
Oh.
So Spider-Man loses his powers. So I think it was maybe because the demon, like, possessed him, it like, burned all the alien stuff out of him. Because
yeah,
it was trying to help
exact
him.
Same thing, except well, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. He said it was a deal. He said that was the way
the
he
deal.
Talked about
yeah.
it, it sounds like it was more like... A maybe not like verbally stated kind of thing, but a conscious like I'm
this
going
is
to
what's
let
going
you
to
be
happen.
The Ghost Rider
if
you give,
me give
up this your like your newfound life. Like I'm going to take the thing that saved you in exchange for helping.
Which
you.
It makes sense that it's that's sort of a parallel with Ghost Rider too, because if you remember in the episode where Robbie Reyes became the Ghost Rider. Becoming Ghost Rider saved his life.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense that it would sort of, in a sort of a parallel, it would cost Coulson his. So I very much appreciate that explanation. But yeah. Go ahead.
No, I was just continuing. Like, we saw some really interesting storytelling between, I mean, they really hammered home the father-daughter relationship between Daisy and Coulson this episode. I think that was the thing was well deserved, and like I feel like we're talking about 100 episode. I feel like with the wedding and with that, they really kind of paid off stories that they've been setting up since episode one, and like it was nice to see. Like, she acted like how you would act if you found out that your parent was dying and they'd been holding it from you. Like, she was kind of petulant with it. She was kind of, like, saying, like, no, you should have told us. Like she was putting unfair stuff on him while he was putting unfair stuff on her, which is what death is about. Like, it's always not fair.
He had already gone through several of the stages of grief.
Yeah.
And then he drops that bomb on them and is just sort of expecting them to already be at the acceptance stage.
Yeah, exactly.
Here, can we...
Go
Coulson's
for
love for Daisy, could it be, hear me out here, Coulson looks at Daisy like if me and May had a kid, it would be Daisy. You don't think that they would be the perfect parents for Daisy? Like, that's mom, that's dad, and they're like mixed, she's mixed. I mean...
It's a non-traditional family.
I think in a lot of ways, he does think of Daisy as his and May's daughter, so to speak. Not necessarily in that sort of official capacity, but, like, it's very clear that he and May love each other. It's just always been bad timing. And they collectively together have helped form Daisy to be an amazing agent.
And my thing is, even if hooking up with Phil is a bad idea, you've made bad ideas. Lash was your ex, bro.
Like, can we talk about?
Okay. Well, he was Teron a good what's, man before he became last.
Teron,
was
what's he? The next episode?
No, he wasn't. Oh, last. Sorry, I got Hive and last. Yeah. I got the two tentacle head creatures
Hive
backwards in my head.
Always
for a
bad
for a
person.
Right. I think for predictions, Teron just wants the next episode to be a full show of Phil and May hooking up.
But now I'm candles. Now that I'm thinking about it, you had Lash and Hive in the same place. If they talk to each other, are they gonna like avatar it with their tentacles?
Oh, probably, like, yeah. There was a lot of love in this episode. Like Mac and Yo-Yo talked the most about loving each other than they have so far.
And she got smothered with a pillow.
Because LMD.
That's real love though.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Yo-Yo and Mac for a little bit, because this is very, I don't want to call it self-fulfilling prophecy, but Yo-Yo is basically like the Cassandra right now, because she talked to a version of herself without arms who is basically like, yeah, this is what's going to happen.
Who's Cassandra?
Cassandra was a figure in Greek mythology who saw the future and nobody ever believed her. And so she was kind of doomed to see the future and be unable to change it. So that's sort of what Yo-Yo's experiencing right now. And every time Mac says, I love you, we're sticking together, I'm not leaving you, I'm like, no! This all ends so poorly.
Well, it's interesting. I hope we get... I mean, I like that it's bringing them together. I hope we get Yo-Yo on her feet soon.
Her metal arms!
Yeah, give her her metal arms. Because I like the actress and the character so much. Like, I want to see them being more active in the story than just in a bed being sad.
Doesn't Mac die?
Yeah, so eventually. I mean, we all die eventually.
Yeah, in the Sylvia Plath sense of the word, I'm sure he's dying as we speak. But sure. isn't he dead?
What happens, basically what we've been able to take from the fragments of the future past that we saw in the episode with Robin, is that at some point Yo-Yo leaves the team because they were unable to save Mac. And that basically gets confirmed when in the future... she runs into her future self, who basically confirms that she was unable to save Mac.
But she has metal arms when she leaves.
Yes. Yep.
So we all get what we want. I get a death on the show. You get your metal arms. No gravity.
I will never
Not
be
yet.
Satisfied.
Wait until the episode where the world shatters. If that's not the result of Graviton, I think we'll all be very upset.
I think it's... We're dealing
with
a bunch.
Or maybe he'll save us.
We're dealing with a bunch of Cassandras because, like, everyone also knows that Daisy destroys the world.
Yes.
And so, but they're all kind of refusing to believe it, even though, as far as we know, if we are believing that future Yo-Yo and future everyone else is a reliable narrator, then Daisy destroys the world and Yo-Yo leaves the team because of Mac. But we don't know if that's true or not.
The Daisy thing especially, I think there've been enough things to be clear to this point that there it's like purely like tangential information that suggests that she was the cause of it. They're just like they found the first plausible explanation and were like, that was it. And didn't dig
any further.
We don't know
that, and that's actually what makes me in the beginning I was against it being Daisy being the one, but the more they try to make it look like it's not her, I started to believe it is her. And it's something she does inadvertently by trying not to be the person who does it. And that's where I'm going with storyline-wise.
Interesting.
And I'm sure I'll talk about more in predictions, but it's because they keep making it seem like everything else in the world. So this space-time rift, which I barely understand, and then... how they just created something to contain it, which I also don't understand, happened to be in Deke's belt buckle, which I completely don't understand. Like, at this point...
No, that actually makes sense. How Deke still ended up in the past, I guess you could make the argument about the monolith at the explosion.
He was wearing the monolith fragment, and that was enough.
But
actually, makes sense to me. That part.
But they established early on that he had an anti-gravity device.
I understand, but it's just such a powerful device for him to just have... which happens to be a very easy solution for this such a difficult problem.
Because all of this is Justin Coulson's mind.
I think I can work backwards on how he has that powerful belt buckle. It's probably something that they give people who go out and like harvest the rocks or clean the outside.
To have gravity.
Yeah. Maybe it's a gift. It's basically just a way for them to just move around with nothing.
Gift from his grandfather.
Yeah. But it's
we gotta talk about this.
That's where I'm getting at. That's actually something I was gonna get at was, is this something where this was a planned situation for him to have that belt? Because why else? He wasn't walking at the time. There was no need. And I don't feel like...
How are his pants staying up right now?
Well, I mean, it's still staying up. It's just the buckle. Yeah. He actually didn't need it. So that's why belt, I was like...
You bring up a good point. Let's talk about Deke in this episode. Because I find the out-of-time, fish-out-of-water story elements to be... I know that they're kind of overdone in a lot of media, but I really love the execution.
It's incredibly charming in this show, like the way they're showing Deke, like with the spray,
orange scented. Yeah. What
he sprays it in his mouth, which I think everyone has had that instinct at some point, right? Am I the only one?
It smells like orange. It probably tastes like orange too.
Yeah, no, not me.
But no, you've never eaten soap.
No. So I like Deke.
Or candles from Bath and Body Works. Yeah.
And Deke likes Daisy, which maybe I like Deke even more, but I like Deke's storyline a lot. And he's, to me, even though he's the character that's supposed to make the least amount of sense, he's actually the one right now, to me, who makes the most amount of sense.
Yeah, I agree. He is acting the way he should, like, narratively. I liked that when he went to the surface the second time, before he started his to-do list that Coulson had given him, he got a rocket pop.
Where did he get money from, by the way?
Coulson gave him money.
Yeah, Coulson, okay. you were distracted at the time, but but Coulson gave him like a to-do list and was like, you have to just do all of these things for me. And Deke was like, well, it doesn't really matter. And he's like, just do it.
Because he's the only one not on a government watch list at the moment.
Because he doesn't exist.
Although now he is.
Oh, definitely.
They ran DNA scans on him. And just in case that like ring thing, which I thought was pretty clear.
I thought the ring thing was clear, and I wish they just kept it at that.
Yeah, but I get that. I get that they needed the government to know who he was.
Yeah.
Like, they needed him to be... connected on Hale's, to it.
Yeah, they needed him to be on Hale's radar.
But they could have done that without necessarily...
I guess it leaves open, like, a moment where where the characters also find out that Deke is...
Yeah,
and I guess that's not the important Simmons part. Grandson. The important part is that it's their grandson, meaning they know that Fitz and Simmons have not had children, so that's how they figure out that he's from the future, because clearly he's their child. And since they haven't had a child, and he's already a grown man, they're like, this guy's from the future. It's not just, oh, now we know who he is. It's now we know what he is, and that's why...
Well, he also said it to the cops, so the cops are going to tell him he was saying he was from the future. Future, and now they're like, oh, that might be real.
That might be an actual...
He wasn't just drunk on Zima. He was telling the truth.
And that's going to play a big Zima. Part. I think that's going to play a big part.
Brought to you by
part.
Zima.
I hope it does, yeah, because like that would be great if like the U.S. government was like, oh, wait a minute, maybe we are the bad guys?
No, like, I think it plays a bigger part because in the beginning... of the season, I was always like, there's so many like storylines, they're just going into nothingness. Now, to me, because of these things, it looks like now they're pulling all these storylines together, and they're going to tie them up into one nice, pretty knot of a bow and deliver it in the finale of this season. And that's why I actually appreciate these little hints that these are coming into play, that they actually come back.
That's what I was saying, is like, it now the narrative is moving forward. With like, okay, now we know, like, everyone knows that Deke is from the future. Everyone, like, it'll move that narrative forward.
Yeah.
And we'll figure out who this ninja is that is killing people. And
we know who she is. Her name is Ruby.
We know a name.
She's obsessed with Quake.
Yeah.
Talking about that and how basically Deke's whole... I feel like it's really interesting finding out that he is for sure Fitz and Simmons' descendant because
someone on the panel predicted that.
Yeah, it was me.
I will fight you to the death on the show.
Okay. I find it's interesting that we get that reveal here because everybody is still like very much treating Deke as the traitor he was. Mm-hmm. Simmons or Fitz at one point when he asks him for the belt buckle, this was right after he was like, someone might potentially have to sacrifice themselves. Deke goes off on this awesome rant about, no, I just got here. Yeah. This planet is amazing. I already did the self sacrifice for you guys, so forget you.
But what a sad alternate story where Fitz makes his grandson sacrifice himself. Without realizing it. Like, what a sad alternate story.
Oh my god, that would be, that's the darkest timeline.
Yeah, there's a dark timeline.
And then Fitz realizes it, like,
he finds out, like, no, they pull
I
up.
Sent him to his death.
It's actually Back to the Future 4's.
Yeah. But it does raise a time travel paradox question, which, if we save the future, like, stop the world from exploding, then what happened? Is Deke going to get erased, or is it, or are we in one of those versions of time travel where he's already here, so he's just here?
So you're asking, is it Back to the Future or Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure rules?
Yes,
and we've had this discussion before. Yeah. Before we get too lost in
Marvel
the weeds on what
them.
Kind of
Marvel tends to keep this, them
because like Cable and all these characters that are from the future will come back.
Yeah.
They actually just exist.
And all and new X-Men yeah. like brought from the past to the present are just like chilling.
So then I guess Deke still exists. As we know him.
We shall see. Yeah. It's still
is
entirely
possible.
Is he going
to have a baby with Daisy though?
Yeah.
Wait, I'm torn.
So Fitz and Simmons' great grandchild is Daisy and Deke's child is what you're proposing.
Which is nothing new here in Hollywood. So no, not a problem at all.
Which I do like the dynamic Deke and Daisy have developed. You know, talking about kind of callbacks.
They
it was
didn't
nice.
Have a moment.
We've never had a moment. Yeah.
We've had moments.
That was the moment. Right there.
You just had it.
But again, and we had it a little bit in the last episode, too. It's nice getting callbacks about Daisy's past and, you know, why she's become the person that she is, you know, growing up in the same orphanage that Matt Murdock grew up in.
I'm glad we brought that up because that was a little drop. And people in the chat were saying, like, oh, I want to see Daisy and Jessica Jones in the same place. Yeah. It's like,
absolutely.
Well, she might... I don't know I don't know how the timing matches up exactly.
Yeah, I don't
but
know.
She might have known Matt Murdock as a kid. She might be like, yeah, I did grow up with a blind guy.
Yeah.
Huh. He did backflips all the time. Did you guys, weird.
Did you guys catch because we were talking about last time how we wish there was some sort of payoff still from the computer program that they were all living in where Fitz was a Nazi. And we got some of that payoff now because Fitz was talking about acceptable losses and Daisy was saying there are no acceptable losses, Leopold. This isn't Hydra, which it was still like, okay, so they're still kind of carrying that guilt with them and that knowledge that Fitz, that was a part of him for a while. I appreciated that. Yeah. Yeah, Tara,
just the acknowledgement that that everybody on the team views like nobody on this team is expendable.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Matt Murdock Daredevil?
Yes.
Yes.
That's why he wears the sweatshirt.
So Daredevil, okay, was in the same orphanage as Daisy?
Yes, yeah. That was a reveal that we got like way back in season
two.
Seasons,
okay, yeah. That's... Well, I mean, there's things I'm learning.
Yeah. No.
The
slime that makes
Daredevil is the exact same canister that makes the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Hashtag
did you guys all know that?
Look it up.
Did you guys all know that?
I thought the ooze was from another planet.
No, I guarantee you. Hold on. You guys want to bet on this? I know this for a fact.
Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back.
I guess it depends which universe.
I like this question from the chat from Mr. Goku Jr. Just because they brought it up on the show early in the season, the multiverse theory.
Yeah.
And like, so Mr. Goku says, what if Deke's world is like the ultimate universe from the comics that was destroyed in the Secret Wars? The thing is, like, even though they mentioned the multiverse theory and threw that out there, that future that we went to is not another universe, because no. Fitz didn't travel through a rift or anything to get there. He just went into
a cryo tube
and woke up. So he didn't travel anywhere. So that was our universes. That was universe 199999.
But you're only thinking third dimensionally. Because if you're thinking on fourth dimension, that universe only exists because Fitz made that choice to go save her. There is another universe that exists where he didn't. There's another universe exists where Deke is their child, and they find out that Deke is their child, and they prevent that from happening. Yes.
But for that to be the case in this show, we would have had to have been watching multiple universes.
Yeah.
Well, you don't know if we have it.
But if they do that, it's too much.
There is a chance that when Fitz went to sleep in the cryo chamber, that when he woke up, we cut to another universe where, I don't know, something didn't go wrong. Or it is entirely possible that we did cut to another universe when we cut to Fitz waking up. I don't think that's the case, because that's going to get real messy real quickly. But let's go back.
Even sci-fi nerds would have trouble tracking that.
Yeah. Exactly. So let's go back to this wedding.
I don't know any sci-fi nerds.
None whatsoever.
I actually have no idea what we just discussed right now. And I was sitting here. Are we going to just blow over my Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pop? Okay, fine.
What? No, the chat's all in on this.
Teron's just sitting here dropping truth bombs all over the place. But yeah, let's talk about this wedding. Because yes, this has been building up for the entire series. And we finally get Fitz and Simmons' wedding day. And it's probably not like either of them pictured it. But it was... As a fan of this show for several years, for me, it was very, very sweet. And I can't think of a better way to have wrapped it all up.
Yeah, it makes sense that they had a Deathlok cyborg in their temporary forest underground as part of their wedding.
You guys know stuff. Why are all cyborgs black? Okay, continue. Go on. yeah, I said it.
RoboCop?
I mean, Deathlok. 30 years ago.
Yeah. I thought it was great. What a great way to have, like, I love the idea that the wedding was kind of cobbled together by Coulson before he knew whether or not he was going to live or die, and that it was like this list of things that he sent Deke out to get, the antique the rings.
The ring was so sweet.
The antique wedding dress, all of that kind of stuff. I thought that was great. The Zimas. my only disappointment, it's such a small disappointment, is I feel like Hunter and Bobby would have been at that wedding. And I know it's like we can't get everything, but like Hunter especially was really good friends with him.
Yeah, but I guess he's still looking after Robin at the moment.
And it's not
guess,
like, and yeah. they didn't really give notice. They didn't like send out save the dates.
Yeah.
So like I get it, but you're right. Like I
that's the one thing that would have made it perfect.
It would have been great to see
the ghost of Trip just in the background.
he's Jedi ghost sitting in the back of the room. We can't get everybody back for the 100th episode. Like if they'd done that, it would have felt really forced. Like the idea that Bobby, who we've established, is like off in like some super secret spies thing like across the world, would just show up for this like impromptu wedding would be really heavy-handed. But I would have loved, I just want to see Bobby in general.
Yeah.
Agent like, Davis was there.
Yeah, somebody on Twitter helped us out with that, because we were like, yeah, there's this one random dude.
Yeah, he helped them escape. He's been there.
And they got Deathlok.
Well, no, they got a lot of people back there, but like then there was that one dude, Agent Davis, who like I'm looking up like where.
But why are they
he
not
was there
looking
several
for Robin,
years
by the way.
Ago?
Why are they not? Yeah, that's a good question.
Why are they not looking for her? Why was not that? Why was that not on the to-do list? Like, hey, Deke, by the way, the person who knows the future, can you get her?
They know. I mean, they know that May eventually becomes Robin's mom.
Sure.
So
I think it's just a low priority. Like they got a lot of stuff on
low
the plate.
Low priority to find the person that actually might have the most amount of answers,
who we know is going to intersect with their plot line in a specific way.
But they're trying to change their plot
line. My argument against that right now is one crisis at a time. They got back. They escaped. There was an explosion. One crisis at a time. The way Coulson describes it, you know, when they put this wedding together, is like, we just made it out of one crisis and we just hopped into another, and now that's done. Let's get this wedding done before the next crisis starts. And so, looking for Robin, I think, is something that's going to be on their to-do list before the next crisis happens. Yeah. But
yeah, we had to deal with this crack in the universe.
They're on the run. There was an explosion. The monoliths are gone now. Yeah, that whole gravitonium thing is just sort of to put a pin in the universal tear. They didn't solve the problem.
Yeah, they just sort of contained it.
They put a Band-Aid on it.
I felt sad for Yo-Yo that she wasn't at the wedding.
Yeah.
If the monoliths are gone, that's why they needed just the piece of the monolith in the future.
That could be why there's only a fragment of it.
Yeah, did they save it? Like, see, I just have future timey-wimey.
I feel like talking about the future, that's a good way to segue into some predictions.
Well done.
Predict a high five right there. How about that? How about predict a high five?
I thought you were just like, well done.
Well done.
Let's talk about the future. Sleight of hand, what a deception. Let's talk predictions, guys. Now that the government knows who Deke is, and now that they sort of have a better idea, we know how dangerous Ruby is. Where do we think we're going next week?
Oh man, I have to think that we're gonna deal with a base under siege story of some kind, continuing with this season of Doctor Who.
Yeah, sure.
Because somebody binged Doctor Who before they opened the room for this show last year. It just felt more and more like they're trying to... is fine. I love Doctor Who. I don't hate it.
Doctor Who is a sci-fi show with a very small budget, and that's what this show has been this season.
And yeah, they may have even gotten that note of, like, look at Doctor Who, how they handle budgets.
Yeah.
But I think that's what we're going to get. I think we're going to be mostly in the lighthouse... while the government, knowing that they're nearby because they've seen Deke, and they know they're in town.
Yeah,
they're gonna be knocking on every door to find the entrance to the lighthouse.
Interesting. They're up.
Well, as the most right member of this panel, I feel that Deke and Daisy.
not
okay.
May
maybe
and
I don't feel,
Coulson.
But I wish Deke. I would love for Deke and Daisy to kiss. Okay, because Daisy's so opposed to it, and Deke is so not her type, but totally kind of there is. I don't care what Daisy said. There have been moments between the two.
You just want your fanfic to come true.
Okay,
your slash fanfic.
I'm
it's
surrounded
okay.
by
it's okay.
fan fiction people. I can't have one.
There's nothing wrong with that. Jesse?
Based on the preview, it looks like there's going to be still some tear stuff going on.
Sure.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing that we're going to get, if we do get a siege story, then it's going to be like a war on two fronts where it's like they're still having to deal with whatever this fear dimension
is. The manifestation's there.
Maybe we get the government's like, Hale's all in here. Ruby's going to kill us.
Open the fear dimension. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah,
awesome.
I'd like to see more explored with Coulson's necrotic dying going on, because it feels like.
Do you think he makes it by the end of the season? Do you think Coulson makes it all the way through? Predictions, right?
Sure.
I think Coulson is going to die in the season finale, which is right before Infinity War, because Infinity War is going to have some kind of thing about Coulson being dead, that because they got to bookend the Avengers stories, and they're like, well, that was such a huge part of the Avengers coming together, but now Coulson's alive, so how the hell are we going to acknowledge him in this final chapter of this big part of the season?
I don't think Infinity War is going to say anything about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
No, I don't think they're going to mention Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
Coulson.
But I think they're going to mention Coulson in relation to the Avengers, mm-hmm. and for him
in
to still be
to
alive
being...
at that point.
His name was Philip Coulson.
Yeah,
I don't think so. Philip Coulson.
We can dream. We can dream.
Again, I don't think they will acknowledge Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the slightest, but I think that there will be a mention to Coulson being dead, and so they have to kill him in order to make that mention work.
I hope you're right, Jesse, in terms of we're not done with the fear dimension stuff, because if there's one thing I could complain about this episode is that I would have loved to have just seen more fear manifestations. The ones we got in 42 minutes were fantastic and spot on, but I could have watched an entire extra hour of just them dealing with fear dimension manifestations. Yeah. But yeah, so I hope we're not done with that as well. Well, I think that just about does it. Thank you guys so, so much for watching. And as a complete side note, thank you guys for everybody who's watched this after show for the 100 episodes of S.H.I.E.L.D. that we've
We got to do the math. I think we're at like 98 or something because of so many double episodes.
Yeah,
I've been here all 100 episodes, so thank you for watching.
Thank you, Matt Lieberman.
Only Megan. Literally only Megan.
I didn't come in until episode 5.
Oh. So no one has been here since the beginning.
Thank you guys.
I've been here in spirit.
Thank you guys for sticking with this show for so long. We love you. You're the best. All right. Thank you guys so much for watching. Zach, where can people go if they want to find you?
You can find me having a buffalo mozzarella prosciutto sandwich while I cry over weddings. Or on Twitter, at @ThatZachWilson. Be sure to stick around and tune into AfterBuzz TV tonight at 10 p.m. Pacific as Jesse, me, Emma Fyfe, Amy Cassandra dig into Jessica Jones Season 2, episodes 1 to 3. We're doing that tonight at 10. And then on Wednesday at, I think, 3 p.m.
I think it's 3 p.m.
3 p.m. We're going to dig into episodes 4 through 6. We're going to do 3 episodes at a time. And then one big finale, look like whole season
recap.
Like, recap. Yeah. And review. So check that out. That's why I'm wearing this scarf.
That's amazing. That's awesome. You guys are having a Netflix and chill session without Megan or I. I am Taron. I am the uninvited to the Jessica Jones party that everyone seems so excited about that's happening tonight at 10. But you can find me at I am Taron all across the board. Thank you so much. I'm going to be watching. And if you guys do something that I could have done, oh, I'm going to be all over it. To the death.
He's going
to
be living in the live chat.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be doing everything that Taron can do, and he can probably do it better tonight at 10. But you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. And you can find me on YouTube at Haymaker Comedy. It's a lot of silly sketches and stuff like that, so go find that.
They real funny.
I'm Megan Salinas. So you guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. Be sure to follow the whole team here at ABTV Marvel. And don't forget to go to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our producers know that you guys like the show that we're putting on. Thank you guys again so, so much for watching. We will see you all next week.
Was Deke's biggest fear a forest?
Yes.
Executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff. We would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.